Welcome everyone to the Green Room podcast. This year it feels fitting to reflect on the businesses and the business owners I've had the privilege to work alongside over the past 25 years. It's been an amazing 25 years and I've met some extraordinary people who have built unbelievable businesses and I've had the privilege to walk beside them for much of that journey. I want to bring you those insights, those things that really move the needle, not just in the day-to-day, but also in the bigger picture. Those things that provide a great business outcome, but also the life and freedom that you as a business owner really desire. So buckle up, welcome aboard, and I look forward to talking to you through the podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Green Room podcast. Today, I want to share with you a story, a client story, a real story shared with permission that really resonated with me. And you know, I would have versions of this conversation most weeks, often multiple times a week. And in fact, this is a story that I can personally really resonate with. And I think anyone who has grown up thinking about hard work and valuing hard work and really having that as a cornerstone of how they have got to where they've got to and how they've built their business, I think this will really resonate with you. But I was sitting with a client. We have our monthly catch-up in our Business by Design program where I catch up monthly and we talk about the actions from the last meeting and we talk about a whole range of elements of what strategy needs to happen and what our goals for the year are and how we're making progress. And we were sitting across from the table at this catch-up when my client said something that really stopped me in my tracks and it really resonated with me when he said, well, I worked 60 hours last week, but if I'm honest, I couldn't really tell you what I achieved. Now, this is a really capable business owner, the sort of person, you know, that's built their business from the ground up. It's an impressive business. It's been built over many years of perseverance and persistence, resilience, good judgment, and a genuine willingness to keep learning. You know, our conversations that we have are generally pretty thoughtful and they're generally pretty energizing too. I really love this person's curiosity and how coachable he is and how he's really wanting to learn and be better for the business. So when he said this to me, he wasn't defeated, but he seemed really tired and, you know, more like someone who'd been running hard for a long, long time without being completely certain of what he was actually achieving. So we unpacked this. How can you actually have worked a 60-hour week and you can't tell me what you actually achieved? And I think it's really, really common. In fact, it's something I can relate to, working big hours, long hours. So why does it feel like we were unproductive, or why can't you tell me what you achieved last week, let alone what you achieved today or yesterday? So we pulled that apart and the pattern was really clear. So, you know, each morning he would come into work, there'd be a full inbox of emails that he worked through reactively. You know, he was pretty efficient. He answered questions pretty quickly that in case they were urgent, client questions, team questions. But when he actually unpacked it, very few were really urgent. And, you know, there was other members of the team that were probably in a better position to answer many of them. But he was busy and productivity to him felt like clearing his inbox. That's what it felt like each day. And when he had a full inbox of emails, he actually found that he was quite anxious about that. He actually had to really get in there and clear that inbox so he could then get on with his day. You know, as he did that and the emails, the more emails you send out, the more come in. And plus he was getting text messages from his team and from clients throughout the day. You know, many of those questions, you know, in hindsight could probably have been resolved or escalated away from him, but he had unintentionally trained his people to really check in with him first. And so everything seemed to wash back over his desk. there were meetings that he'd lived in his calendar for months. You know, nobody could quite remember how they got there or why. And we call that temporal discounting, that we actually don't rate what's coming up in the future. And we actually more concentrate, for good reason, good biological reasons, we concentrate more impactfully on what's actually in front of us in the day-to-day. And when we were on the savannah and we were killing and eating to be able to survive, that served us very, very well. But when we're putting things off rather than saying no, or rather than dealing with them at the time and just putting them into the inbox, into the calendar down the track, thinking tomorrow's never comes, and then tomorrow comes, and because of that behavior, tomorrow's just as busy as yesterday. We actually the cycle of doing that actually traps us in the cycle of doing that. So there were things in the calendar that shouldn't have been there. A couple of client calls in the day, you know, ran over longer than expected. There was some firefighting of some operational issues when he looked at it closely that the team probably could have resolved themselves if the right process existed. The more interesting observation was what had not happened. So what he hadn't done, he'd been very busy in solving problems, very busy in firefighting, very busy in dealing with urgent client matters, and let's face it, that's real. But what hadn't happened was the strategic thinking he'd been meaning to do to resolve this. He just hadn't got to it. So the conversation with his senior team members that might have taken them to another level that would have fixed a lot of these problems, it just hadn't taken place. You know, the pricing review he knew he had to do had been deferred again. But the week had been full of activity, but remarkably light on progress. It wasn't from a lack of effort. There was no shortage of effort. But what had been missing was the intention. In many businesses, busyness becomes the story we tell ourselves when progress has quietly stalled. So his calendar looked full, but the outcomes didn't match the hours. I asked him why he thought this pattern had continued for so long, and actually I was a bit curious because I could reflect and recognise the pattern in me. And he thought about it carefully, and then he sort of walked down a path I wasn't expecting. He said being busy had started to feel like proof that he was working hard. And, you know, we all have wiring or most of us who run our own businesses, working hard is a bit of a badge of honour. You know, it's hardwired into our thinking. And if messages are piling up, it means people need us. And if the diary's full, it means things are happening. And the busyness itself had become a form of validation. So when I reflected on me, I go, absolutely, I can see that. When I have conversations with other business owners, I can absolutely see how that can be, how we can get ourselves to this situation. And effort is something we take pride in, particularly in the early years when everything depends on us. But the most valuable work in growing a business often doesn't look busy at all. It actually, it rarely looks impressive because it's designing the systems rather than generating many text messages. Developing people often looks like a quiet conversation rather than a crowded calendar. Because of that, we tend to fill our days with activity that appears productive, but we postpone the work that would genuinely move the business forward. Where to from here? I'm sure there's plenty of you listening that could really resonate with this, but the calendar doesn't lie. I want you to open up your calendar and run an exercise I call a calendar audit. If someone who did not know you studied your calendar, what would they conclude you believe is the most important thing in your business? And if when I do a calendar audit, quite often in my world, it's client meetings, it's team meetings, it's writing an email, it's pulling together a strategy day, all of those things. But it's not the strategic and the systems-based stuff that is really going to give me a much better calendar, ironically. Research from McKinsey suggests that senior leaders now spend about an average of 23 hours a week in meetings alone. So that's double what it was in the 60s. If you add messages and emails and operational interruptions, then it becomes easy to understand how a 50 or 60 hour week can disappear without much tangible progress. And your calendar actually reflects what you have allowed to matter. So what to do? Well, Stephen Covey had a great metaphor. I talk about this a lot. I use the EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, way of thinking a fair bit with a number of clients. And we talk about those big rocks. If you fill a jar with sand, first, there's no room left in the jar for the big rocks. Things like health, things like strategy, things like systems thinking, things like people development. If they're the big rocks that are non-urgent but important, if we put all the sand, those busy things in place first, we're not going to have any room for that. The sand, but if we put the big rocks in the jar first, the sand naturally settles around them. So the principle is really simple. It's the application where most of us struggle. For a business owner, the big rocks are rarely urgent. They are the strategic conversations. They are the leadership discussions that will develop your team so that they can solve the problems without you. So they can operate in some complexity and know how you think. So they are the systems that stop the same operational issues from reappearing every few weeks. Because these things don't arrive with flashing lights or immediate deadlines or urgent all over their inbox. That because of that, they're very easily crowded out by the noise of our day. Professor Gloria Mark from UC Irvine found that after an interruption, it takes around 23 minutes to fully return to focus. So if you've got a day which is constantly being broken up by messages and small decisions, the mind rarely settles into deeper thinking required to build anything meaningful. So you remain on the surface of your own business, and it's difficult to design anything substantial, you know, when you're coming in and out of a million different ideas and trying to settle. The analogy I often share with business owners at this stage of growth is the one of, are you a firefighter or are you an architect? Many leaders run their day as if, you know, they're firefighters, where the business actually needs an architect. Firefighters respond to problems. They're capable and valued and often essential, of course, in moments of emergency. But they don't build or design buildings. Architects create the structure that allows the buildings to stand long after they step away. So if you think about that in your business, what are the systems and processes and the capabilities you need to build in your people that will be left standing long after you step away? If you remain the firefighter forever, the architect of the business never truly develops. Systems remain incomplete, leadership capability stays underdeveloped, and strategy continues to be postponed. The shift from firefighter to architect is not about working less. It's about deciding where your attention is most valuable. It's a decision, and it's one that only you can make. So back to my client, what did we do? Well, rather than attempting to overhaul everything at once, we focused on a few deliberate shifts. The first was creating a weekly planning ritual. So before the week begins, we now identify three priorities that genuinely matter. Not 30 tasks, not a massive to-do list, but three pieces of work that will move something forward. These priorities go into the diary as protected blocks of time. The second shift is we introduce what we call rock time. I've got a couple of clients that do this really, really well. Early in the day, they prioritize without interruption. They put their messages on silent, their emails are turned off, and operational questions are done elsewhere. They're only interrupted in cases of genuine urgency. When you first start doing this, though, the problem is it feels very uncomfortable because the team has become used and clients have become used to constant access to you. But once clear pathways of escalation, so, you know, what is urgent and what is not urgent, what you can be interrupted with and what you can't, are established, the rhythm settles down relatively quickly. So that's the second thing we did. The third thing was a bit more personal. He had to genuinely accept that his strategic attention was one of the most valuable resources in the business. As they say, the first sale is always to yourself. So giving that attention away reactively was not leadership. It was simply a habit that he had formed. And you can understand where it comes from. It comes from those early days when activity and action and urgency is what actually started the business. But pretty soon, business owners get trapped under the entrepreneurial ceiling, and the business progress is defined by what they can do about their capacity and their energy. And when energy dips, the fortunes of the business dip. And until we can break through that entrepreneurial ceiling, we cannot scale a business. So once he started valuing his time really differently, the decisions about what to accept and what to decline became clearer. No became an empowering thing rather than the rebellion or signs of poor leadership that he'd quite often considered. And then, you know, I caught up with him a few months later and to really understand if those three things had made an impact. He said to me, "I still work hard, but now the week has some shape to it. The busyness has not disappeared, and running a business is rarely quiet, right? There's always plenty to do, but it now has direction." So on Friday afternoon, he can tell you what he actually achieved because the work he planned at the beginning of the week is the work that he actually completed. He also mentioned that because he's in a much better space, he started walking most mornings before work. Nothing dramatic, 5,000 steps before breakfast, about 45 minutes without his phone. He said it had become one of the most valuable parts of his week because it gave him space to think before the day began loading its agenda onto him. He's also home a lot earlier, more often. And over the summer period, he had a genuine week away and was properly offline for the first time in years. He said it felt a bit unusual at first, but over time it sort of became much more the norm. So the good news is that priorities, unlike time, are something that you can actually change. So here's my challenge to you. Have a look at your calendar and really look at it in a way that says, what are my priorities? Where am I putting my energy? Where am I putting my focus? Am I spending time on those big rock things, those strategic elements that aren't urgent, but they're important? They will move the needle. They will give me a quality of life that I crave. They will build the systems and the capability of my people that will enable me to leverage what is in my head and what my ideas are, and absolutely scale the business and scale it so it doesn't have key person risk in me, scale it in a way that gives me some freedom, scale it in a way that we become very systems orientated and building capability in our people. So that's my challenge to you. Go back to your diary, have a look. What can you do in the next week to very deliberately, what are the three things that you can do over the next week to very deliberately move the needle on the future of your business? If you like this episode of the Green Room podcast, I invite you to jump on my website, chrisgreen.au, and check out other episodes. Also, I have a fortnightly newsletter and a video. So jump on board and check it out.